Well, we are finishing the book of Mark. We are looking again at the chapter 16, and we'll be looking at verses 1 through 16. Mark 16, verses 1 through 16. Lord congregation, this is God's word. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that he might come and anoint him. Very early on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. They were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" Looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, although it was extremely large. Entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting at the right, wearing a white robe, and they were amazed. And he said to them, "Do not be amazed. You are looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who has been crucified. He has risen. He is not here. Behold, here is the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." They went out and fled from the tomb, from trembling and astonishment had gripped them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Now after he was risen early on the first day of the week, he first appeared to Mary Magdalene, from whom he had cast out seven demons. She went and reported to those who had been with him while they were mourning and weeping. When they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they refused to believe it. After that, he appeared in a different form to two of them while they were walking along on their way to the country. They went away and reported to the others, but they did not believe them either. Afterwards, he appeared to the 11 themselves as they were reclining at the table, and he reproached them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they had not believed those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and has been baptized should be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned." Beloved, many people have gone to sunrise services on Easter Sundays, and many more go to church on Easter to celebrate the resurrection. For most of those people, resurrection was nothing more than the rite of spring. The sun has passed the equator as it makes its early rounds and is returning to the northern hemisphere. In that time, snow even had gripped many areas and was melting, and trees were budding, and flowers were starting to bloom. But the message of resurrection, as we celebrate on Easter days, is much, much more than that. We have gathered to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, from the dead. This evening, we're looking at this text in four heads. Number one, without the resurrection, there is only hopelessness and uncertainty. Secondly, because of the resurrection, there is life and hope. Third, beloved, because of the resurrection, there is forgiveness. And fourthly, because of the resurrection, there is a message to proclaim. Well, there's four of them again. Here we go. Here's number one. Without the resurrection, there is only hopelessness and uncertainty. In this text, in that morning, there were three women at the tomb. Through the years, those women had known and had followed Jesus, and they had developed a great love for and loyalty to Jesus. And there they had been at Calvary. And they had been at Jesus' burial. They had come early on that first day of the week to anoint Jesus' body. At that point, those women still didn't understand what was happening. And all that, those women loved Jesus and they had wanted to serve the Lord. Oh, beloved, the emotional experience is not necessarily a conversion. Those women were sure that Jesus was dead and gone, and with him their hope for his being Messiah was gone. Now, this is a very good example for a zeal without knowledge, as Paul wrote in Romans 10, verse 2, quote, "For I testify about them that they have a zeal for God, but not in accordance with knowledge." Their problem seemed insurmountable, as the text said in verse 3, quote, "They were saying to one another, 'Who will roll away the store for us, the stone for us, from the entrance of the tomb?'" Even when those women were told, they wouldn't believe it. As this text said in verse 8, quote, "They went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had gripped them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid." Now, beloved, this text tells us that two of the apostles were traveling on the road to Emmaus. Those two apostles were mentioned in verse 12, quote, "About that, we're talking about Jesus, appeared in a difficult form to two of them while they were walking along on their way to the country." That account was recorded in Luke 24, verses 13 through 16, and again verses 19 through 21. Starting here this way again, it begins in verse 13, quote, "And behold, two of them were going that very day to a village named Emmaus, which was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things which were taking place. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself approached and began traveling with them. But their eyes were prevented from recognizing him." Now to verse 19. "And he said to them, 'What things?' And they said to him, 'The things about Jesus the Nazarene, who was a prophet, mighty in deeds and word in the sight of God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to the sentence of death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, it is the third day since these things happened." Notice, beloved, that the apostles told Jesus that they had much hope. This way, in Luke 24, verse 21, quote, "But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel." At that time, those two apostles felt a deep hopelessness. All the disciples felt a basic hopelessness. Now, in the text, Mary Magdalene says this again in verse 10, quote, "She went and reported to those who had been with him while they were mourning and weeping." More, This is what this text says now in verse 11, quote, "When they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they refused to believe it." Once again, the disciples were filled with hopelessness, as John wrote in John chapter 20, verse 19, quote, "So when it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and when the doors were shut, where the disciples were for the fear of the Jews." More, the whole world, beloved, experiences an amazing hopelessness. Oh, again, beloved, without the knowledge of Jesus and the resurrection, there is always a basic hopelessness. That hopelessness is portrayed in today's art. That hopelessness is apparent in today's music. That hopelessness is proclaimed in today's prophecy. Life in the world, beloved, is truly meaningless. The world has no hope for the present nor for the future. Beloved, again, hopelessness is seen in the lives of many, many today. Well, that's the first point. Here's the second point. The second point is, because of the resurrection, there is life and hope. Now, this text tells us that the angel said to the women who came there into the tomb. First, this is what verse 5, 6 this way says, quote, "Entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting at the right, wearing a white robe, and they were amazed. And he said to them, 'Do not be amazed. You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who has been crucified. He has risen. He is not here. Behold, here is the place where they laid him.' You must certainly know that the angel said that Jesus was not there. You must certainly know that Jesus had risen. And again, you must certainly know that that stone was rolled away, not to let Jesus out, but to let the women and the disciples be able to come in. Jesus had returned to life. He had been resurrected. It was for that reason that Jesus was, and he was not there. Oh, beloved, this is the most important message that the world has ever received. That resurrection was true and was open for absolute clear investigation, as Luke wrote in Luke 24, verses 39 through 43, quote, "See my hands and my feet, that it is I, myself. Touch me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bone, as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still could not believe it because of their joy and amazement, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of a broiled fish, and he took it and ate it before them. Oh, beloved, it is fact that Jesus Christ has risen. That true resurrection has become the basis for real hope, real joy, and real meaning for life. Now, in this text, Jesus appeared to Mary. That text is mentioned now again in verse 9, quote, "Now, after he had risen early on the first day of the week, he first appeared to Mary Magdalene, from whom he had cast out seven demons. Now here is the marvelous account where Mary met Jesus after his resurrection. Now this is what it talks about in John 20, verses 15 through 18, quote, Jesus said to her, Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? Suppressing him to be the gardener, she said to him, Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned and said to him in Hebrew, Rabboni, which means teacher. Jesus said to her, Stop clinging to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, and my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came announcing to the disciples, I have seen the Lord, and that he had said these things to her. Mary's hopelessness was replaced with hope and joy. In this text, Jesus appeared to the two men on that road to Emmaus. That text is recorded now in verse 12 again, quote, After that, he appeared in a different form to two of them while they were walking along on their way to the country. Now, in Luke 24, verses 28 through 35 is the marvelous account where those two men met Jesus after his resurrection. Quote, And they approached the village where they were going, and he acted as though he were going farther. But they urged him, saying, Stay with us, for it is getting toward evening, and the day is now nearly over. So he went in to stay with them. When he had declined at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed it, and breaking it, he began giving it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to one another, Were we our hearts burning within us while he was speaking to us on the road, while he was explaining the scriptures to us? They got up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found gathered together the 11, and those who were with them, saying, The Lord has really risen and has appeared to Simon. They began to relate their experiences on the road and how he was recognized by them in the breaking of the bread. Once again, beloved, those two men's hopelessness was replaced with glorious hope and joy. In this text, Jesus appeared in the 11 disciples now. This text is mentioned now in verse 14, quote, Afterward, he appeared to the 11 themselves as they were reclining at the table, and he reproached them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they had not believed those who had seen him after he had risen. In Luke 24, verse 37 through 43, is the marvelous account where those 11 disciples met Jesus after his resurrection. The hopelessness of those 11 disciples was also replaced with hope and joy. Throughout the scriptures, we have studied much about the resurrection. You and I, we have not physically seen Jesus, nor have we physically touched him. Such an opportunity will not be ours, even in this life. But the resurrection tells us about the reality of Jesus' resurrection, especially in Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, this way, quote, "About all that, Jesus began to go and teach until the day when he was taken up to heaven, until he had, by the Holy Spirit, given orders to the apostles whom he had chosen. To these he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days and speaking of the things concerning the kingdom of God. Oh, beloved, truly this is the word of God, which has been incorporated into inspired scriptures. If you truly believe the Bible, there is hope and joy and peace and meaning in life. There is new life for us, and you have become a new creature in Christ Jesus." Well, that's the second point. Here's the third point. Because of the resurrection, there is forgiveness. In this text, there was forgiveness for Peter. That is in the light of Peter's confession, in his boast, and in his denial of Jesus. In this text, Peter's sin and forgiveness is clearly implied in verses 7 and 8. Read it again, we've read several times, but again here, 7 and 8, quote, "But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." They went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had gripped them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Verse 7 includes the phrase which we talked about again, "and Peter," which means that Peter's sin was forgiven, and they must not forget to bring Peter also. In Mark 14, verse 66 through 72, Peter denied Jesus three times. We've read that a few months ago in Mark 4, if you remember. Peter denied Jesus once again three times. Now, in John 21, verses 15 through 18, is the marvelous account when Jesus reminded Peter's love three times also. Starting here again in John 21, starting with verse 15, quote, "So when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?' He said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' He said to him, 'Tend my lambs.' He said to him again, a second time, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me?' He said to him, 'Well, yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' He said to him, 'Shepherd my sheep.' He said to him the third time, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me?' Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, 'Do you love me?' And he said to him, 'Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you.' Jesus said to him, 'Tend my sheep.'" Oh, beloved, because of Jesus' resurrection, Peter did really receive forgiveness, just as every true believer obeys God's word, as 1 John 1:9 says, quote, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Keep going, beloved. God's word tells us that every true believer has forgiveness because they do believe in Jesus. Oh, beloved, Jesus' resurrection is the only hope of the forgiveness of sins and our being accepted before Jehovah God. Because Jesus was resurrected, the assurance of forgiveness is now ours as His people. That's the third point. Here's the fourth. Because of the resurrection, there is a message to proclaim. Now, this text tells us that Jesus proclaims a commission to every true church of Christ. Here is that commission in verses 15 and 16, quote, "And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved. But he who has disbelieved shall be condemned." Once again, beloved, because Jesus was resurrected, the message of forgiveness is to be proclaimed to every creature. In the parallel passage, Jesus sets forth that commission as Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20 says this, quote, "And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Oh, beloved, the true church is to preach the gospel to every nation, tribe, and tongue. That is still the true church's commission. Now, this is the content of this commission. Beloved, you must know that the content of this commission is the complete message of the Scriptures. That total message especially includes the birth, life, death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Now all men are commanded to believe and be baptized. And if they do, they are saved. Through Jesus Christ, the new covenant has been ratified, and all are invited to participate in its blessings. Those who believe and confess God's word are saved. Oh, beloved, there is no middle ground. To be saved requires a positive faith, a deep commitment, and a true obedience. Then the result is hope, love, joy, peace, and eternal salvation for every true believer. Well, that's a fourth point. Very short conclusion. Though many have gathered year by year to celebrate the rites of Christmas, though many have gathered year by year to celebrate the rites of spring, and that is not such an important thing. Every Sunday, you and I, we celebrate the fact that Jesus Christ has raised from the dead and that He is alive forevermore. Every Sunday we celebrate the fact that Jehovah God's covenant with man has been ratified through the death, and that his perfect salvation is now offered to all who will believe in him. Every Sunday we celebrate and rejoice in the fact that there is life and hope, peace. Here is forgiveness and salvation, and there is a glorious message to proclaim to every creature because of what happened in Israel that resurrection morning. Amen. Let's pray. Father, how we thank you that Jesus was resurrected on that glorious resurrection day. Help us, we pray, Father. Help us to truly know and understand that God's word is the complete content of this complete message. Now, knowing that, Father, help us to proclaim that complete salvation to many sinners in this area. And the result is, will be for us, hope, love, joy, peace, and eternal salvation, as we said, even to every true believer. Amen.